It is. We are so blessed to be forgiven, and yet I think sometimes we just don't realize how blessed we are. Let me remind you to pray. There's a lot of people who are sick with COVID. There are some that are quarantined. They need our prayers, and so we need to be sure and lift them up in prayer, but also some of the families that get quarantined. I think of Shannon and Pam. They've been quarantined how many times total?
Five now.
Five now? Okay. They may have the record amount on it. I'm not sure. But, you know, it's we live in a very difficult time. And so let's go to the Lord right now. Lord, we come to you and we lift up the doctors, we lift up the nurses, we lift up the nursing home, we lift up the assisted living, we lift up the hospitals, and Lord, we lift up the jail and our sheriff, and just it's a mess right now. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd bring your healing hand upon those who are sick and their families, and the ones that have to work and serve. And I pray that you would give them the strength that they need. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about a dirty word that nobody says anymore. I mean, there's dirty words. We talked about last week the word surrender. No one likes that word. No one mentions that word. Because who wants to surrender? And yet in the Christian life, to be able to experience it to the fullest as God intends, you have to surrender. But the word I'm going to talk about this morning that is really, really, really never mentioned anymore is the word sin. That little bitty three-letter word called sin. And it's interesting to me that in our world, you can get away with doing a lot of things that are wrong, but if you start talking about sin, you can get in trouble. Years ago, as a matter of fact, to be exact, 48 years ago, Dr. Carl Menninger wrote a book called Whatever Became of Sin. Now, Dr. Menninger was a psychiatrist, and he worked with people all the time and tried to help them deal with their problems. And 48 years ago, he wrote this book because he said this. He said, the word sin seems to have disappeared. Was a proud word. It was a strong word. An ominous and serious word. It described a central point in every civilized human being's life's plan and lifestyle. But the word went away. It has almost disappeared. Now that was 48 years ago. He says, why? He asked the question, why? Doesn't anyone believe in sin? Doesn't anyone believe in sin? Doesn't anyone sin anymore? Now, that's an incredibly important thing to think about. One of the things that in our culture we've tried to erase is this word called sin. Menninger went on to say, he warned that should this concept of sin be eliminated from our culture, that any hope or thought of a moral society would certainly perish. In other words, if you get rid of the word sin, your culture is in grave danger. Why? Because no one sins anymore. No one does wrong anymore. So therefore, whatever you want to do is okay. People will get upset with me if I say Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. But I'm not being exclusive, because here's what I would also tell you, that anyone could go to heaven if they believe in who? Jesus. That's pretty open. I read a debate this last week about Jeffrey Dahmer and some of the other serial killers who made a profession of faith in Jesus as the Lord and Savior before they died, and people were trying to discuss whether or not they made it, and only God knows. But here's what I do know, that the Bible teaches that whoever believes can have eternal life. And so, even though I'm narrow-minded in saying that you have to believe in Jesus, I would be open-minded and say anyone. Anyone. Even the Taliban, if they believed in Jesus Christ, can be saved. And we need to understand that people do get upset, because as the church, many times Christians look at us, and I mean not Christians, non-Christians, and they say, well, all you do is talk about my sins. And I think the problem is, too often we talk about their sins, their activities, but we don't talk about the root cause, the root problem. It's that little word called sin. Well, here's the definition. Here's the definition of sin. It says, actions by which humans rebel against God, miss His purpose for their life, and surrender to the power of evil rather than to God. So a person who disobeys God, who doesn't believe in God, has a problem called sin. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word for sin is an archery term that means to miss the mark. You are shooting an arrow, but you miss the mark. In other words, you miss God's plan. You miss God's standard for your life. And so we sin because we miss God's purpose and plan for our life. Now, here's the bad news. In Romans 3:23, it says, for everyone has sinned. Everyone has missed the mark. Every person in this room has missed the mark. It says we all fall short. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how much of the Bible you've memorized. Every single one of us in this room falls short, right? We measure goodness by I'm 50% good, or I'm 60% good, or I'm maybe 95. But listen, there is nobody in this room that is 100% good. There's nobody in this room that is completely without sin. Everyone in here falls short. Now you say, well, where did this come from? Well, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread for everyone sinned. So who are we going to blame? If you're going to blame anybody, go back to Adam and said, if Adam and Eve would have got their act together, we wouldn't have this mess. But guess what? We do, and that's where we are this morning. And it kind of troubles me that we get so worried about all the problems of the world. We even worry about COVID and death and Afghanistan, when the major problem, the major concern of every single one of us ought to be this subject called sin. Whether or not people know Jesus Christ, whether or not their sins are forgiven, that is the ultimate question. Because the thing we know for sure is that everybody in this room is going to die. But what we don't know is that everybody in this room has a relationship with Jesus Christ. So sin is a serious word. So let's look at this outline and let's try to get it in perspective. The first thing is sin is serious. People are always trying to figure out how much sin they can get away with and still be saved. And I think that's the wrong way to look at it. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21 says. It says, "What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil." Listen, people come and say, "Well, that really isn't a sin." And I always say, be careful. Anytime you start determining what is sin and not sin, that's dangerous. He says, "What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever." It is dangerous. It is dangerous business to do away with sin. To say, "Oh, that's really not a sin. That's just the times have changed." It's scary to me when we start monkeying around with sin. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says this, "It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, He has turned away and will not listen anymore." It is a serious thing to be a sinner. And the trouble is, we're all sinners, right? There's not one single person in this room who's good. And see, psychology has got involved, and what psychology has said is just change the vocabulary. You don't have an abortion, you terminate a pregnancy. It's all about wording. We go and we look at life, and what we do is we no longer worry about glorifying God with our lives, we worry about ourselves. Self is the issue. It's serious business to say that sin is not sin. And yet that's how we, sometimes as Christians, deal with sin. It's not really a lie. It's an untruth. What's the... lying sounds bad, doesn't it? Untruth or a white lie? Does that feel better? Is that how we do it? We need to start being honest with ourselves and our culture. And we need to do it in a nice way. We need to realize that truth without love isn't really truth. Love without truth isn't really love. They go together. If I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. But I'm not just going to tell you the truth without love, which is a lot of times what happens with Christians. You're going to go to hell. We don't, you know, you get this impression. Sin is serious. Don't start monkeying around with making it okay. I don't know how you do it, how you rationalize it, but don't monkey around with making what is not okay, okay. Here's the second thing that's so important. Scripture identifies sin. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true." You want to know what truth is? Share the Scripture. Don't share what culture says is true. He says, "And to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." So let me ask you a question. Who determines what is sin in your life? You? Oprah, Dr. Phil. I mean, I'm being honest. The scariest thing to me is when you or someone else other than Scripture starts to determine what sin is. Because you know what? You're no different than Adam and Eve. Remember in the Old Testament, in the garden, God said, do not eat from the tree, the one tree. And how does Satan deal with that? Satan said, oh, surely you won't die if you eat of it. And here's what really Satan was saying. Satan was saying there were no consequences to disobedience. Surely you won't die. You'll become like God. So they ate, and immediately they became guilty. They knew it. They tried to hide from God. And so the thing we need to understand, it's so important for you here this morning. It doesn't matter what our government says, what culture says when it comes to sin. What really matters is what does the Scripture teach? Now, let me give you another example. Notice how we, in my day, it used to be smoking dope. That sounds weird now. Now it's recreational use of marijuana. Isn't that funny? It's recreational. And then I'll have people say, well, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that you can't use marijuana. And then I would say, but if you look in the Scripture, it says be sober-minded, clear-minded. You know what that means? Nothing alters your mind in its ability to think. But we changed it. It's all of a sudden recreational. It's legal, so that means you can go do it? Oh, it means you can go do it, but it's wrong. And see, this is the thing. We don't read our Bibles. We don't even know what is in our Bibles anymore. And the only way you can identify sin is to know the truth about what sin is, which is Scripture. Jim Daly said this. I believe Jim Daly is, head of Focus on the Family. Jim Daly said this. We are followers of the book, not editors of the book. You see, what we want to do is we want to get in there and edit the book. But we're not supposed to be that way. Scripture is what defines it. Now, here's another problem we have. We have big sins and little sins. My dad used to say that Baptists carried the biggest Bibles and talked about the big sins that they didn't do, which they lied half the time, drinking, smoking, bad girls, all that kind of stuff. But my dad used to tell me, of course he was a Methodist, he'd say, Bill, if y'all could just learn how to get along in the Baptist church. There was a lot of truth in that. The church I grew up in, they believed that fighting was a spiritual gift that God had given them. I'm serious. But here's the way it is. People will get real bent out of shape about someone who has a drug problem, but they don't care about someone who has a gossip problem. We'll get bent out of shape about someone who is doing this sin, and I hate to tell you this, we're gluttonous in America, and that's a sin. Who is the worst? Guys like me, standing up screaming about your sins when I'm overweight, abusing food left and right. We've got to understand that selfishness, my way or the highway, is a sin. We've got to understand that being impatient, being a slanderer, all those things are sin. You find them in the Bible. And so that's why I get concerned if we're not reading our Bibles. Not because you're going to get to heaven faster. It's because you're not going to know what right is and what wrong is. You're going to listen to, and I'm going, you're going to listen to Fox News, CNN News, and you'll start making your decision on the news networks. Let the book speak. The book is the way that you identify sin. So, sin is serious. Scripture identifies sin. The third thing, sin needs to be confessed. Now, thank goodness Baptists don't believe in confession. I can't think of anything worse than thinking that you had to come in here and confess. We believe in confession. We don't believe in confession booths. I can't think of anything worse than having a little booth here and I'm sitting behind it and you're coming by and I have to listen to your sins. Listen. You do have to confess, but it's not to me. I can't think of anything worse than to have to listen to that 8 hours a day. But here's the good news. We need to understand that Scripture teaches that we need to confess our sin. Proverbs 28:3 says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. That's good news. Listen to 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. One of the most beautiful New Testament passages about confession. It says, first of all, if we claim to have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves. I grow weary of people who are sinless. The scripture is very clear that if you claim to have no sin, you're only fooling yourself. And it says, and not living in the truth. But if we confess, that word confess means to admit that you're guilty, to agree with God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And then he says, if we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. That's scary. There are people who think they've achieved holiness in this world. You're not going to be perfect until you get to the other world. Our goal is to confess and change. And sins need to be confessed. And here's the thing. As a Baptist, one of the things that we tend to skip over the most in our prayer time is confession. How much time did you spend this week confessing your sins to God? Think about it. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to God. Think about it. Was there a time this week when you said, God, forgive me for being angry. God, forgive me for being impatient. When was the last time? How much time do you spend daily? Do you even confess daily your sin? You see, I find it's easy to skip to that one. It's easier to go and say, here's what I need, God, help me out. It's easier to go and say, hey God, I need this, I need that, I need this, instead of saying, hey God, forgive me because I was impatient. Lord, forgive me because I didn't have control of my mouth. Lord, forgive me for blank. And so, sins need to be confessed. If you don't confess them, you know what you do? You just go on with life. There is freedom in confession. I spend every day confessing sins because I have them. I wish I didn't, but I do. Sins need to be confessed. And here's the other one. This one gets me. Sins need to be mourned. In James chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, James wrote this, "Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." And then listen to what he says. James says, "Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy." When was the last time that you were broken by your sin? The last time you just said, "Oh God, forgive me, I'm a mess." When was the last time that your failure drove you to mourning and going to God and say, "Help me"? Tim Keller said this. He says, "We wouldn't do what we do if we really knew what Jesus did for us. If we really knew what Jesus did for us, we probably wouldn't take sin so lightly." You know what bothers me is how little we are bothered by our sins. And when I say we, I'm talking about me as well. Oh, we're bothered by what happened in Afghanistan. I am greatly bothered. I'm bothered by a lot of things. But when was the last time I was bothered by my sin? When was the last time you were? Where you just got alone with God and just got honest and said, "Lord, help me, I'm a mess." You see, the reason you're not bothered is because we don't have the word anymore. The fifth thing is, sin does not need to control you. You see, if we really believe that sin is serious, and if we really believe that the Scripture points it out, and if we really believe that we should confess it, we should also believe what the Scripture says in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, that it should not control us. If we truly believe that God forgives us for our sins, that when we confess them, that we are reunited with Him, we're in good standing with Him, shouldn't it make sense that we should no longer live under the dominion of sin, but under God's dominion? Romans 6, verse 11, look what it says. It says, "So you also should consider yourselves dead to the power of sin." If you're a believer, sin should be dead to you. You know what that means? That means if it's a snake and it's a dead snake, I'm not worried about it. We were on the lake this Friday. I saw two water moccasins dancing on the water. Literally dancing. I've got close-up pictures. There is nothing more terrifying to me than a live snake, even a good snake. And the reason I'm terrified is because they're alive. But Scripture says sin is dead. If you're a believer, sin cannot make you do wrong. It can tempt you, but the power is in your favor, not it. It says, do not let sin control the way you live. This morning, in Mount Ida, who's controlling the way you live, sin or Jesus? Who is controlling your life? He says, do not give in to the sinful desires. Every single believer has sinful desires, but we also have a choice. He goes on to say, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves, surrender completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. We're not supposed to live under its control. But we do. I believe because we don't take sin seriously. The last thing, allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. Not the last thing, next last thing, but allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. I've often wondered why in the world are not more people getting things right with God? Why in the world are not more people living for Christ? And here's the reason. They're not convicted. I could try to get you convicted about things that you've done wrong yesterday or the day before. I could try. I could at the end of the service just go down the list of sins, trying to heap guilt on you. But I have a better way. If you're a believer, the scriptures promise that the Holy Spirit can convict you. Listen to what he says in John 16:8. And when he comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of its what? S-I-N. The Holy Spirit will convict you not only of sin, but of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. I could try all day long to get you scared about hell, get you excited about heaven, help you understand that there's a thing called sin. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you, there's no change. And remember, folks, it's not just what you do. It's also what you don't do. James 4:17 says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then do not do it. That's the one that I get. Right now, what is there something you know you're supposed to be doing for God, but you're not? And you may not be doing bad things, but if you're not doing good things that God has asked you to do, guess what? That is called sin. And only the Holy Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit should convict you of sin. But it's a question of whether you allow Him to come in and inspect you. Wednesday night we talked about dangerous prayers, and one of them was the prayer, "Search me." Open yourself to the Holy Spirit. And then the last thing is this, how to defeat sin. It's real simple. Jesus. See, we a lot of times try to change people. You need to quit doing this. You need to quit doing that. We try to stop the sins on the outside, but our concern should be on the inside. And that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, Jesus personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Salvation means living for what is right. By His wounds you are healed. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thank God He gives us the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, what our community needs is Jesus. And when we help them know Jesus and get that fixed, He fixes the outside. It's inside out, not outside in. How do you defeat sin? It's with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Should we be different as believers? Absolutely. Totally different. Are we? Sometimes. Sometimes not. So where are you this morning with sin? Is it a dirty word? Is it a word you don't like, that you don't use, that you don't practice? Is your life dead to sin or alive? I hope it's the right thing. Now, I can't think of a better time than to do the Lord's Supper. And we debated, I've debated. We haven't done the Lord's Supper in over a year. And you say, well, Bill, COVID's out there. Yeah, and if you don't want to do it, you know, you don't have to. We're not passing individual bread. We're not passing uncovered juice. We're passing modern technology. It's enclosed. I want you to know that we even went a little further and had a special team of guys who use gloves to pull up the flap so it's not as hard to get up, because it would be hard, and they had gloves on. I mean, we've done everything because we wanted to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and I just want to remind you why we do it. First of all, we celebrate the Lord's Supper to commemorate, to celebrate what He already did for us. When we pass the bread, when we do that, what we're doing is we're celebrating what Christ did for us. Then the second thing it does, we are told in the Scriptures that we are also to look forward to the coming of Christ, that the Lord's Supper is not only to remind us of the past, but it's to get us to look forward to the future when He's going to come back. And then the final thing, it's something we do together. When you take the Lord's Supper, you're saying you believe in the gospel, you believe that it needs to be shared, and that is the whole purpose of this. It's a community commitment to share the gospel. So I'm going to ask the deacons to come to the front, and what we're going to do in just a second, we're not going to pass it down the aisle. We're going to let you take it from there, and we're going to remember what it's all about. So I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to pass out the juice and the bread at one time. So let's pray. Father, I come to You, and I ask that You would make this a very special time where we remember Your body being broken, but also Your blood being shed for the forgiveness of sins. We ask that You would bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, there's a little piece of tape. I'm going to ask that you would pull it up carefully and take the piece of bread out. You know, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that says this. It says, That is why you should examine yourself before eating and drinking the cup. It says in verse 27, I left it out, so anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the blood and the body of the Lord. That's why you should examine yourself. And, you know, we've been talking about sin. And maybe the Holy Spirit revealed to you something you need to start doing, stop doing, change doing. I don't know, but I know the Holy Spirit works. So what I want you to do is to bow your head right now and you confess to God privately what it is that He convicted you of. So let's have a time of silent prayer. Amen. Jesus took the bread, said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, if you would just go and take the next tab and gently pull it up. You know, the good news is, while the Holy Spirit will make you aware of sin, Scripture makes us aware of forgiveness. There's nobody in this room that felt great about their perfect life, I can assure you. But here's the good news. Jesus said, "This is my blood. This was shed for the forgiveness of sins." It's only in Jesus Christ that we find forgiveness. Not in the church, not in a priest, not in a pastor, in Jesus. And so Jesus took it and He told His disciples, "This is my blood. It was shed for your forgiveness." And He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We're going to close a little bit differently today. There are trash cans as you leave. If you would, when you leave, please take them out. I've got several announcements to make. I'm going to have them be seated. I almost feel weird making announcements, but just a couple reminders that we have. First of all, there are three different ways you can join our church family. I found a baptismal place, Twin Creeks. It's not where the snakes were. Okay, I'm just letting you know. That is not, I know where not to go for a baptism. Huh?
There's snakes there too.
Well, we're going to make sure that they're not there. But if you haven't ever been immersed, baptized, we would love to invite you to do that. That's one of the ways you can join our church. And we hope to be doing that soon. You can join by letter. You can join by statement of faith. Also, I want to remind you that we've got coming up next is family night. This Wednesday night, dinner starts at 5:30. The groups start at 6:30, so be sure to join us for that. And then also we have coming up Dangerous Prayers. You might not want to come to